Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you all, especially the church here for the hotel. We got to get in a little early. It's a really nice hotel. It looks like they updated it. Thank you for the meal. Thank you for the prayers, the hospitality. Thank you for everything. And also, thank you for your guys' website and all the archives of the past conferences and different messages. I use that so often. I listen to a message. I've been going through the Don't Get Stuck series by Brother Dan Gordon on my way to work in the morning. At first, I was kind of bummed that I had to drive an hour to work every morning, but now I get through a whole message. I've ignored phone calls so that I wouldn't miss what he was saying. But I get to use it a lot. And then it made me think, I don't know, has this pulpit been here since Brother Don Titus? And to just think, like, all those messages I hear Brother, now all the names are going to, Brother Hancock, Brother Jones, Brother Garner Smith, Brother Harold Harvey. Some of these men I never even met. I never met Brother Harvey, but I heard him preach, and he can preach. And, you know, I have to lower the volume down on those ones. But that they're all preached from behind this pulpit. And as I'm listening to it, and now I don't know if you're going to record my message or not, but that to preach behind that same pulpit as those men, and that's not to like lift those men on a pedestal, but such an example that they set, men that were true to the word, men that loved the word, men that preached with their heart, and it's really encouraging to hear. But yeah, this conference, a lot of history. I've been coming to this conference probably most of my life. I was trying to think, it's been over 20 years, which is weird to say. I'm 32, but like 20, maybe 25 years I've been coming to this conference. And as I went through the years, my seat would get further and further to the back. My favorite seat was probably where they built that new, there was a bench there, and that was probably my favorite seat. I just wanted to get as far back as possible. And now I realize that I don't think I can get any closer than I am now to the front. But it's crazy how the Lord works. Maybe some of you that are just as surprised as I am that I'm up here, that the Lord called me to preach. Because there was a time in my life that I didn't care much for the house of God. And that's a shame on me. But God, who's rich in mercy, drew me back to Him. I know a lot of men that have come to know the truth by starting out going to church because they met a girl. Well, the girl I ended up marrying, who actually I met at this conference years ago, was already in the church. But I believe the Lord used her to get him close, to get me right with Him. But anyways, we won't waste any more time. We'll go into the message. Hebrews chapter 10. It always amazes me when there isn't a theme set on the conference, but the Lord sets a theme. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Before we dive into that verse, in the first part of chapter 10, it talks about Christ being the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And then you move on to verse 23, and it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. There's an order of things here. Those who come to know the Lord, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for their sins, that is personal. You have to see that He died for your sins. And then it moves on to, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Now we're talking about those who are what? In the Lord's church. Those who are members of a New Testament Baptist church. Hold fast the profession of your faith. And then we see in verse 25, to those that are in the Lord's church, those who are members of the Lord's church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So I start out with this question. Do you want to be here? With the Lord's help, the Lord's leadership, the title of the message I have here is, do you want to be here? And if so, why? We see that word forsaking, that word forsake is to leave, to desert. Every time you are not in the house of God, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, or even Wednesday evening, anytime you are not in the house of God, you are forsaking the assembly. We ought to be in God's house whenever the doors are open. And I understand sometimes we just can't make it, whether you're too sick to leave the house or you're going to the hospital to have a child. I understand there are times we can't be in the house. What I'm talking about are those the ones that have a willful desire to not be in the Lord's house. Because whether you be sick and you can't come, there still ought to be a desire in you to be in His house. And even when one goes on vacation, you ought not to take a vacation from the Lord's house. Vacations are nice. Vacations are good. Vacations are needed. But we must never go on a vacation from the Lord's house. This is His house and we ought to be here. And you might say, well, there's no church to attend while I'm on vacation. I'm not going to tell you whether or not you should go there on vacation. I'm just going to simply reiterate, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And maybe some won't like that. Maybe that bothers some. Who are you to tell me I shouldn't go to such and such place? Again, I'm not telling you where you can go or where you can't go to go on vacation. But I just ask you this, where's your priorities? Do you want to be here? Do you want to be in the house of God on the Lord's Day? And as a child of God, I would hope that answer is yes. Do you want to be in the house of God on Sundays? And that's all day. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. Do you want to be here on Wednesday evenings? Do you want to be in the house of God whenever the doors are open? And you think, because the Lord's coming back. I don't know when. It could be in my time. It's starting to look like it's going to be in my time. But I don't know. But if the Lord comes back, what if He comes back on a Sunday? Where will you be? Where will be the last place you were or you are when the Lord comes back? How much better for the Lord to come back and you be in His house? Or you might even say, some might say, I'm just going to miss one day. It's just one day. I had a guy at work tell me that. They wanted me to go hunting with them. And I said, well, I can't this day because my wife's going to a baby shower. I need to watch the kids. And he said, well, what about Sunday? And I said, no, I have church. And he says, you can't miss one day? And I thought about it and I told him, like, no, I can miss one day. I don't want to miss one day. And that's not pointing at me. That's by the grace of God that I said that. And it'd be by the grace of God that I hold that view the rest of my life. And that's not to point at me. That's to point to God because it's His day. But there's so much to coming into the house of God. Let's take a moment to consider the house of God. What does one do in His house? We all have houses or homes that we live in. What do we do in them? We dwell there. This is where God dwells. God dwells in His house. He resides there. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know, thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. The house of God. The house of God is wherever His people come to meet. God dwells in His house. So when we come to the house of God, we are in the presence of God. We are worshiping in the presence of God. And there is no better place in the world than in a New Testament Baptist church that God placed you in. I believe we all have a church that we belong to, and I believe God puts each of us in a specific church. And there's no better place. If I go on vacation and I visit a church of like faith, yes, that fellowship is sweet, that fellowship is good, and I love spending time with those sisters and brothers in Christ that I don't usually get to see. But it doesn't compare to being in my own church. So when one willfully chooses to miss church, and I'm using church in the sense of, you know, coming, obviously I know the church is those who are baptized into the Lord's church, I understand that. But I'm talking about when we're in the house of God, when one willfully chooses to miss services on a Sunday or Wednesday night, he is essentially telling God, I have better things to do. I know you want me in your house, Lord, but I gotta go fishing. It sounds ridiculous, but how often do we see that happen? To tell God you have somewhere better to be than His house. The time God has given you, and you're going to tell Him, I have somewhere better to be. What are we doing with the time that the Lord has given us? Every breath we take is a gift from God. Ought we not to desire to be in His house? Ought we not to desire to be in His house? Our entire purpose, as my pastor mentioned before, our entire purpose is to worship God. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and here's the reason, for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. We're here to worship God. Our whole lives ought to be in praise and glorifying God. But how much more so than on the Lord's Day? You ever hear someone say, I'm a Christian, but I just don't do church. A child of God ought to desire to be in God's house. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. It is natural for a child of God to want to be in His house. What's not natural is when a child of God doesn't want to be here. One thing have I desired. David says, one thing. I mean, think about the things you desire. If someone came up to you and asked you, what's the one thing you desire? Say they ask you when you're not in the house of God. When you're in the house of God, it's easy to say, oh, I want to be here. That's the one thing I desire. Well, say you're out of work and someone asks you, what's the one thing? If you could have one thing, what would it be? Would you say, oh, a new house, a new car, a new job, more money? Or is it to be in the house of God all the days of your life? Matthew 6:21 tells us, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is our hearts? And when we miss services, when one willfully chooses not to be in services, ask yourself, who are you serving? We heard Brother Tim's message, following Christ. If you're following Christ, I'm pretty sure he's not going to lead you to the golf course Sunday morning. If you're following Christ, he's going to lead you right where? To his house. This is his house. And we are his children. I'd be pretty upset if I'm at my house and Aiden's nowhere to be found. I'd probably be more scared. We ought to be in his house. But you go, I have this one thing. My cousin's getting married. Or such and such event. My got invited to a basketball game. Or I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm gonna go to the Super Bowl live. The Chicago Bears are finally in it. I'm gonna watch. I can't miss that. You're saying that is more important than God. And even if it has something to do with family, you're saying that family, whatever's going on, say it's a family reunion, you're saying that family is more important than God. Nothing should ever take the place of God. I mean, it's the first commandment. If we would just get the first commandment down, our lives would look a whole lot different. There should be nothing more important than God. And if nothing's more important than God in your life, then you will be in his house. And God takes worshiping very, very seriously. God takes worshiping very, very seriously. So I already focused on those who willfully skip services. But now I want to change my focus to those who are faithful in attendance. Just because you are here every time the door is open, say you haven't missed a Sunday or a Wednesday night in 50 years, it does not mean you are worshiping God when you're in his house. God does not just require our attendance in his house. He requires your heart. Now I'm going to be touching a little bit on Brother Hugin's message. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, we all know this account, we all know the verse, you know. Samuel was, he thought Eliab was to be the next king. But the Lord said, he looked like he would be a king. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I mean, we have people coming to services. You know, maybe they're wearing a suit and tie every time they walk in. They're there 30 minutes early. They're the last ones to leave. They're sitting there looking at the preacher the whole time. They're not sleeping. They're not on their phone. And they look like what a Christian ought to look like. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what that person's doing, but we don't know where their heart is. We don't see that. We see the outward appearance. In Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can be in services every single Sunday. You could hear, or you could even, you hear every Wednesday. You're at every conference you can possibly go to. You can walk the walk or talk the talk, but you can still have your heart far from God. Just because you're here does not mean your heart is right with God. And we see there in verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. God hates vain worship. Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Howbeit, or we'll start in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's Mark's account. Are we attending services just because that's what we're supposed to do? Because that's what's required? Because what I'm afraid what others might say? What is the reason that we're in church? We're in services. One thing I try to instill in my children, it's not that we have to go to church. It's that we get to go to church. But why are we here? Are we here for the food? The food's amazing. The food's good. I can see why one would come for the food. I'll probably enjoy it a lot more tomorrow. But why are we here? Are we here because family's here? Are we here because friends here? Are we here just whatever? Because the musicians are so good? Why are we here? And we see God hates vain worship. He hates it. Isaiah chapter 1. And we're going to see just how much the Lord hates vain worship. Verses 2 and 3. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. God's people had rebelled against him, and they didn't even realize it. They didn't even consider it. They didn't even consider God. And then we move on and we see in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. God's people was so consumed with the things of the world. God's people wanted basically nothing to do with God. And we see that he compares them to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness in that city. So here we have a picture. We see how wicked that God's people had become here, the Israelites. And then we see, and if it wasn't for that few remnant, they would have been destroyed. And we see in verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. He's talking to them as if they're Sodom and Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats. They were still going and worshiping God. They were filled with iniquity. They were filled with sin. But yet they would still go and worship God. Are we doing the same thing? Are we consumed with the things out there? Are we consumed with the lusts of the flesh? We're just constantly feeding our lusts or feeding our flesh. And then we come in here in our suit and tie and start praising God. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I'm just asking. I'm guilty of it. I've been guilty of this. And that's a shame. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm pointing it at me. But they still went and did what they always did. Are we coming here just out of tradition? Because that's what my mom and dad did. That's what their mom and dad did, or so on. Why are we here? We see them, they're making sacrifices for their and praising God, but yet their lives were full of sin. It had no meaning, but yet they were doing. But yet they were still doing what the worshiping God. And we see in verse 12, "When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, or to tread my courts?" We see, bring no more vain oblations. Like that, we look at that as like service, gifts. Incense is an abomination unto me. That incense is it was a picture of their prayers going up to the Father. And it says, the incense is an abomination unto me. Their prayers were an abomination unto him. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, new moon, the specific times that they would meet to worship. As for us, that would be on Sundays and Wednesday evenings. He goes, I cannot away with. That's God. He cannot away with it. He cannot stomach it. It makes him sick. It disgusts him. It disgusts him when those that come into his house worship him vainly. This is the house of God. And he takes his worship serious. I mean, I don't know if I'm stepping on your toes, but the Lord's stepping on mine right now. He hates the vain worship. Think about your job for a moment. You have a job. It's probably a secular job. I have a secular job. And we all have someone that's above us. We all have a boss. And my hope is that you are trying to do your job the best you can. You show up every time to work. That's a big part. I mean, if you just show up to work, they'll hire you nowadays. But when we go, we show up. But if we just show up and we don't really care about what we're doing, we're not putting much thought into the task at hand, it's going to show. And our boss isn't going to be pleased, right? How is it any different with coming into the house of God? So those who come here, those who are faithful in attending the Lord's in the services in God's house, why are you here? Why are you here? When we come in through those doors, not specifically those doors, but you know what I'm saying. What's our focus on? I mentioned before when I was younger and I would attend the services here, I would attend the conferences here, I would sit in the way back. And I would just be dying for that day to end because I wanted to go to the Hobson's house and go play football or play games. And eat pizza. That was pretty much the reason I would come to the conference, was to go hang out at the Hobson's house. Not that there's anything wrong with the Hobson's house, but my focus should have been on the Lord. And then when I would sit there and I would look at the little itinerary thing, and I would see there, and to my dismay, I would see the last preacher, and it said Brother Hamill. I don't know if you guys remember when he would preach at the conference here, but he was long-winded. And I'd be like, oh, we're not going to get there till late. But that's where my heart was, and that's a shame. Watch, now I'll go late. But what is our focus on? And not just when we're in here, what's our focus on? What's our focus on before we come in here? Because whatever our focus is on before we come in here, that's what our focus is going to be on while we're in here. So that makes me ask you, what are we doing Saturday night? Are you out living in sin? And then coming into the house of God and dressed up and looking the part? Or are you preparing your heart for the Lord's Day, Saturday night? And I would argue that you should start preparing your heart for the Lord's Day the moment service is let out on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. This isn't just something we do. This isn't a hobby. We saw in our text, Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some people have a habit of missing services. Do we have a habit of not truly worshiping God? As I said, this isn't just a hobby. This is our life. You know, I mean, you think about what's in the house of God. You got in the house of God, you have God and you have His Word and you have His people. And as far as I'm concerned, one of those three things isn't perfect. And that's you and me. But this is our life. This should be our life. This is who we are. I mean, look at all the times Paul addresses himself, Paul, an apostle of Christ. It was who he was. It was his identity. Is this our identity? Or is this just something, are we just religious? Religion's not going to save you. But this should be our life. Our highlight of the week should be to be coming into the house of God. That should be our highlight. Amen. Even if you're going to Disney World on Thursday, your highlight of the week should be that you were in the house of God on Sunday. That should excite us more than anything. I mean, we have God's Word. And I believe God gave His Word to His church. But our focus should be on the Lord. Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I have set the Lord always before me. That means He has His focus on who? The one before Him. Brother Tim mentioned getting behind the Lord. So that the only thing you can see is the Lord. Have Him be your focus. But how many times do we see people in services or in the Lord's house on Sundays that are on their phones, playing games, making calls, going on Facebook, going on Fox News? This is the house of God. This is the house of God. Do we consider where we are? To come into His house and to be focused on the things that are out there. To focus on things that maybe it's not necessarily sin, but if it's taking your eyes off the Lord, it's sin. Anything you put in place of God is sin. Our focus should be on God. When we miss services, say, my child plays baseball. I can't miss his baseball game on Sunday morning. Well, now you're putting your child above God. And also, what kind of precedent is that setting to your children? But we ought not to bring what's out there in here. We ought to bring what's in here out there. And better yet, bring what's in here. Don't fill it with the things out there. Because all that is just going to lead you further and further from God. We have to. We must disconnect from the world. Especially when we come into the house of God. It doesn't matter what game is on. It doesn't matter what the score is. What matters is what's going on in here. Because all of that should be nothing compared to God. It should be nothing compared to God. And when I mean nothing, it shouldn't even cross your mind when you're in the house of God. If we could just come into the house of God and just be completely consumed with the things of God and His Word, and that we don't even consider what's out there. How different would our Sunday services be? I bet you these first two rows would be filled. Sorry, making sure I didn't skip a page. But what's our focus on here? I mean, especially when we come in here. I mean, you think about a baseball game, right? If you go to a baseball game, you're going to go to that game, and you're going to be out in those stands watching the game the whole time. And the only time you're going to leave is if you have to get food or you have to go to the bathroom. What about here in the house of God? Are there those that would rather be out there watching it on TV, on the TV? Now, I understand, you know, food's getting ready, things have to be done. I understand that. But to willingly leave services to go watch it in another room, or to stay at home and be like, oh, I'm going to stream the message. Now, some might argue with me, but I'm convicted that if you choose to stay home and stream a message, even though you're able to be in the house of God, that's forsaking the assembly. I believe you have to be here in person. Because why? It tells us to exhort one another. You can't exhort someone when you're at home and they're here. You have to be in that same room. Where are our hearts when we are in the house of God? Our hearts must be focused on God. Psalm 119:11. For thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have to hide God's word in our heart. We have to have a heart that is fixed on the God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be very, very careful what we allow into our hearts. David in Psalm 51 tells us, in verse 10, I believe this is after Nathan the prophet had told David about or confronted him about his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. And now David is going before the Lord, and he says to God in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We need to have a cleansing of the heart every day. Every day. Every day when we wake up, Lord, give me a new heart. Give me a heart that wants to serve you. If you have a heart that wants to serve God, you're going to be in His house. You're not just going to be in His house, you're going to want to be in His house. And the reason you're going to want to be in His house is so that you could hear from Him. Oh, but why do we worship in vain? Why do people worship in vain? Why do people carelessly skip services? Well, I believe it's because there's a lack of reverence for God. We must have reverence for God. Psalm 89. And verses 5 through 7. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. I don't know about you, but I believe this is an assembly of the saints. And we ought to have a reverence for God. And then in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Do we reverence God? I don't believe we'll ever reverence God how we ought. Well, we ought to strive to. We ought to work towards it. Do we reverence God? He deserves it. And then also, how are we treating God's house? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There is a way we ought to behave in the house of God. I was fortunate enough to have a father that showed me how to behave in the house of God. This may be my first time speaking in front of you all. It might be, but it's the second time that you could hear me. If this recording is going on the website, it'll be the second time you could hear me on a recording. There is one, I don't know what year, it was probably my son's age. You will hear a little boy crying in the back. My dad caught me doing something I shouldn't, so he whooped me right there in the back. He didn't even take the time to take me out there. But there's a way we ought to behave. And then 2 Samuel chapter 7, when David, he was sitting at in his home, in his palace. And we see in verse 2 that the king said unto, or we'll start in verse 1, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. David had a concern. He's living in this palace, and the Ark of the Covenant, where God's dwelling, was just behind curtains. He wanted, that's where we have him wanting, having a desire to build a temple. And obviously, we all know David couldn't, because he had blood on his hands. He wasn't allowed to build the temple. So we gathered the material, and his son Solomon ended up building the temple. But we ought to treat. What I get out of this is that we ought to treat God's house better than our own house. And that's not to say that we treat our house awful. I would assume that we all treat our house with care. We clean the house. We put things where they should go. Well, we try to, and then the kids are right there and they're yanking it all out. I think my wife cleans the house like 10 times a day. But we ought to treat God's house better than our own. You know, Brother Roland mentioned, make sure we pick up the wrappers of the candy. Why? Because this is God's house. Even to the smallest thing, smallest detail, it's God's house. And we ought to treat it better than our own. And as far as this being our, I look at, because most of us probably have services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings. You go out in this world, and then we're out in the world the rest of the week, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or beginning day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's like you're swimming, right? And when you come up for air, you have to come up for air every now and then, otherwise you're going to drown. Well, I think it's the same thing with coming in the house of God. We need to come up for air once in a while. And I think that's here. Because if we don't, I mean, the more you, what's the saying? The more you miss church, the less you'll miss it. And the less you'll miss church, the more you'll miss it. I know coming into services it's not a safe haven. Why? Because, well, we're human, we're flesh. You know, there's always temptation. There's wherever we go, there's a possibility of sin. But it's still the house of God. We ought to desire to be here. But going to church isn't just something we do. It's not, oh well, these people go to church and we do. It's not like that. You know, I was talking to a guy at work. I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, no, that's not for him. How sad. You know, before the Lord saved me, it wasn't for me either. But he got a hold of me. And he drew me to him. It's not a hobby. It's not like an exercise class or an elective. This is just something we do. This is the house of God. And specifically, this is the house of God where his bride meets together. Where his church meets. You know, I mean, we're his church. The church of Christ, we are Christ's church, where he said, I will build my church. We are his church. We are this little church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, we hear about these other churches like, oh, well, they're pretty good, but they're just off on church. That's significant. That's significant. That's this. I mean, he's talking, I won't get into it, but this is the house of God. And we ought to have a desire. We ought to make it a habit to come here, and not just a habit. But what do we do with hobbies too? I said it's not a hobby, but what do we do with hobbies? Hobbies is something you desire to do. Do we desire to be in the house of God? But coming into services should be a part of our lives, and everything else should be second. There's no better place than to be in the house of God. And if I'm being honest, there's not a place I'd rather be than right now. Maybe sitting there listening to, you know, Brother Reynolds. But honestly, I wouldn't rather be anywhere else right now. Amen. And that's by the grace of God. Amen. And I know, I have my off days. I go into the house, God, and, you know, football season's big for me. I like to think about football and all that. And, you know, it's hard. It's got to, you know, put it to the side. This is the house of God. But there's no better place than being in the house of God, where we ought to be worshiping and praising God and talking with God and listening to God. This is a special place. And there's no place like it in the world. You hear, how often do we hear, you know, that the people are the church, it's just a building. Yeah, there's truth to that. But that building's God's house. And this is where we meet. Do we hold such a view that there is no better place than the house of God? As God's people, as the Lord Jesus Christ's church, as the elect of the elect, as you would, do we worship God as we should? Is He pleased with our worship? I think I was talking to my pastor, it's a sweet smelling savor, the worship. Is our worship a sweet smelling savor to God? Is He glorified in our worship? Do we want to worship God when we are here? And if you do, praise God. And if not, well, something has to change. And it's not God or His house that needs changing. Do we want to be here? And if so, why?